The New York Yankees are off to one of their best starts in recent memory, but there is some things of concern to look at when we look at the grand scheme of this team. We talk about Volpe, we talk about Hicks, we talk about the injuries and more on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. For those of you who celebrate, hopefully you enjoyed the Easter weekend. For those of you who celebrate Ramadan, we hope that you are enjoying that as well and spending some quality time with family and friends. Yankee season is well underway. We are now 9 games into the season. Yankees sitting at 6-3 to begin that campaign. It's their best record through 9 games in a full season since 2010. It's been quite a while since the Yankees have had a decent start like this. And you know what? It's really refreshing to see. But again, with their 6-3 record does come some positives and negatives. Obviously, we're going to get into all of those today. But there seem to be more negatives brewing, especially with the injury bug. And we'll make sure we talk about that as well. In case you forgot, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. Make sure you interact with us during games. We love talking Yankees baseball. We would love to hear your opinion on it as well. And follow us on social media. Go to DelahantyMedia.com for all the latest news and updates regarding our brand. Let's get right into it. Let's not waste any time. The Yankees, listen, for what they're throwing out there right now, especially on the pitching end, I'm encouraged by what we've seen. Let's remember, we haven't seen Carlos Rodon yet. We haven't seen Luis Severino yet. Jonathan Loaisiga just went to the injury list with what they're saying is elbow inflammation, which is very concerning to say the least. Lou Trevino, Luis Gil, Tommy Canley. The Yankees are banged up right now. And then to make matters worse, you have guys like Harrison Bader, Josh Donaldson, who got injured recently and was put on the 10-day injured list. The Yankees have plenty of injuries. And let's not forget Frankie Montas, who's probably out for the year or close to it. Another bust trade by the Yankees, especially going to Oakland trying to obtain some starting pitching depth. But when you look at it, what they're throwing out there right now, you have to be encouraged with their record. And one of the things, and you could go back on plenty of my shows in the past. For me, what I look for, if you're playing a 3-game set, win 2 out of 3. You're not going to sweep your opponent every single time. If it was that easy, teams would do it. You're going to get your sweeps. You want to avoid losing series. Think about it. You win 2 out of 3 here. You win 2 out of 3 there. You win 2 out of 3 there. That's your 6-3 record. So it's important to keep winning series. And the Yankees did that against Baltimore. We're able to win 2 out of 3. And, you know, I've heard a lot of scrutiny about Clark Schmidt and how he struggled a little bit and people want to see him back in the bullpen. I get that. But I think that right now, it's great that we're getting that opportunity to see him throw as a starter and get into that starter routine. Because who knows, maybe he turns it up a notch and becomes a viable option in the rotation for this team moving forward. The worst case scenario is he buys you some time until you get healthy. Rodon gets back. Severino gets back, hopefully soon. And then you put him back in the bullpen, and you could use him as a multi-inning reliever or a weapon that could be used in different spots. I wouldn't really write this kid off, but I get it. His first 2 starts weren't necessarily ideal, but given the circumstances, the Yankees are throwing out there what they have, and they're hoping that that's their best chance to win games. You see it with Davey Garcia. What are they doing with him? They're turning him into a multi-inning reliever. There's still spots for guys to eat up innings, even if you're not a starter. So don't write off Clark Schmidt just yet. Now let's talk about Johnny Brito a minute. And I talked about him on our last show because I saw him live in his first major league start. He's a guy that impressed me. Here's why. His stuff isn't overpowering. He has a good fastball, good off-speed pitches, but he's not afraid to attack the zone. With his recent start against the Orioles, he became the first pitcher in Yankee history in each of his first two career starts to have five or more innings pitched, one run or fewer allowed, and three hits or fewer allowed. So, from the early onset, this kid's really providing the Yankees what they need out of a fifth starter. Get me 5 to 6 innings. Keep the score low. Let the offense do the work. And that's something that, you know, I really appreciate as somebody who watches very closely. You know, at this point in the game, this kid's going to make it tough if he keeps pitching like this to ultimately say, you know, this guy's got to go back down to the minors. Because he's proving that he can handle it at the big league level. And it's at a really good time for the Yankees, given their need in the starting rotation. The bullpen scares me. I'm not even going to lie to you. Yes, it's been okay so far, but it truly scares me, especially with all the injuries. Am I convinced that Clay Holmes is the closer? No, I'm not. Clay Holmes scares me a little bit. And so do the other guys in the pen. You know, there's some reliable guys. You know, Wandy Peralta's been working his way into one of those. Ron Marinaccio is another who the Yankees are very high on. They have pieces, but without Loaisiga and without Trevino and without Canley, I want to see these guys develop a little bit more and find those roles so when those guys do come back, it's an easy transition to get them involved as well. The Yankees are going to need bullpen arms. It wouldn't be a surprise if that's one of the biggest things they're looking for at the trade deadline. But right now, I think if you're looking at this roster, one of the things that really does concern me is the production of the bullpen and how it will hold up over 162 games. Let's talk about some positives on the offensive side of the ball. Number one, doesn't get enough credit, DJ LeMahieu. Was hurt all last year, really banged up, and you could tell he wasn't the normal DJ LeMahieu. But watching him over the first week and a half of the season, LeMahieu has been doing what DJ LeMahieu does. Put the ball in play, hard contact, finding a way on base. I love what I see from DJ, and if he could keep that up, that's going to be a really nice boost at the top of the Yankees lineup. Aaron Judge, how could you complain about him coming off a 2-home run game? This guy, you know, is really living up to the captain bill. They have him in center field, have him in right. You know, he's doing what we expected him to do. The pressure of the big contract and the C on his, you know, that fake C on his jersey because they don't have it, obviously, on his jersey, aren't getting to him. He's still the same guy. So that is very encouraging in itself. And the guy who stands out the most to me is Gleyber Torres. All the trade speculation. Heck, I even said that it might be time for a change of scenery for Torres, just because you don't want to get stagnant in a bad spot for somebody. But for Torres, he's been an on-base machine early on in the year. Already multi-digit walks. The guy's been really, really good. You could tell he's locked in. And let's not forget, this guy hit 38 homers a couple of seasons ago. If he continues to keep that good eye at the plate, he's going to get plenty of pitches to hit. And it could turn into a lot of damage, especially with the long ball. So those guys are the three that I'm really looking at offensively that, you know, really stand out to me early on. Honestly, let's talk about Anthony Volpe. And yeah, the offense isn't there right now, but as a 21-year-old kid with no AAA experience, this guy is putting up good at-bats. Yeah, he's striking out a good amount, you know, popping out and struggling to get on base, but you have to be encouraged with the at-bats that he's putting up. Eventually, they're going to turn into hits, and the experience is going to help him improve, and he talked about it in the postgame of one of the Orioles series games, where he had struck out in his earlier at-bat, made an adjustment in that second at-bat, and roped the triple off the right field wall. So for Volpe, I'm not concerned about him. Watch him in the field. The baseball 101 is there. Made a heads-up play covering second base, realizing that Gleyber Torres wasn't there to cover the bag. Those are things that make the biggest difference. And I love seeing Volpe out there every day. Let him earn the spot. let him work through the experience. Let him get his feet wet in the big league setting. Because overall, it's going to pay off when the Yankees look down the road and are trying to make a run for the postseason. So he's a guy that, you know, yeah, you look at the average, you look at what he's done, you know, the general stats, I like to call them, and they might not wow you. But for what he's doing overall, I'm encouraged and I'm excited about what Anthony Volpe brings to the table. And let's not forget Franchi Cordero either. This guy comes in the day before opening day, they sign him to a major league deal. Everybody's like, why? This guy stinks. We don't need him. And the guy just keeps hitting homers, playing good defense. You know, what a signing that's been. Even if they caught lightning in a bottle and it's only for a couple of weeks, you know, you'll definitely take it at this point, especially with Harrison Bader being sidelined due to injury. Speaking of Cordero, one of the things that I have to talk about, and, you know, it really frustrated me watching this, the management of Aaron Boone. And, yes, Cordero was due up against a lefty, and the Yankees had Aaron Hicks on the bench. We're going to get to Hicks in a minute. But looking for contact, Boone made the switch to go to Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, why? Especially in the sixth inning of the game where Cordero could still stay in and make an impact later on. They go to IKF. Doesn't work out, obviously. Like, we knew it wasn't. And Boone basically replies that he was looking for somebody to put the ball in play, not to walk. Which is why he didn't go to Aaron Hicks. I just feel like if you're going to make that move, you go to Hicks there. I get that. You know, he's been running his mouth and he's not happy with his playing time. But in the long run, these are the type of mistakes that are going to cost you deep down the stretch. You can't make those. Early in the season, I could accept it. You're trying new things. You're experimenting new things. But it's something that I hope does not continue. Speaking of Hicks, yes, he's been crying over his playing time. And to be quite honest with you, if I was him and I was making $10 million a year and I wasn't playing, you know, I probably wouldn't be complaining because I'd probably be so happy with the amount of money I was making that I really wouldn't probably care. And I'm just being honest about that because, you know, in that type of situation. But as a competitor, I get it. You know, you want to be on the field. You're expecting to be a starter. Then Oswaldo Cabrera comes in and really takes your spot in left field. Even with Harrison Bader out, Hicks can't even find his way into the lineup. Ultimately, I think the Yankees are going to trade him. I think somebody's going to need an outfielder. They're going to be desperate. The Yankees are going to find somebody to take him off their hands. And honestly, the guy probably needs a change of scenery. Hasn't worked out. The Yankees gave him that big contract who, you know, I think all of us still question to this day. That really was not a good deal on their end. Hicks is just a guy that, you know, has really fell out of favor. And the young guys are coming in and taking over. And once Bader gets back, his innings are probably going to be even more limited, given the fact that you probably see Cabrera moving around more. You probably see Judge in left a little bit with Stanton in right. And then on the days where Judge is in right, you see Cabrera back in left. You know, I just think that at this point, maybe it seemed like Atlanta comes calling. They might need an outfielder. You know, who knows? Maybe somebody has an injury and they see Hicks as a fit. I don't know, but if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would say that Aaron Hicks is gone before the trade deadline. I really do. I think that we're at that point where, you know, he really is not helping this team, and they can use that bench piece to keep a guy like Cordero or Willie Calhoun if they so choose. You know, I think that that's a guy that I really think Cashman and Steinbrenner would love to get off their hands. Another one who isn't going anywhere is Josh Donaldson, who's now hurt, pulled something in his hamstring. The guy can't catch a break. Health-wise, you know, he's getting up there in age. The production isn't what it used to be, but he's owed a lot of money, and honestly, nobody really wants that contract. Ideally, it would make a lot of sense if the Yankees just decided to eat the money, but with the luxury tax, probably not going to happen. But you have to envision, and you have to think of this too, like, yes, we all want to see Josh Donaldson get hot and be somewhat of the player he was when he was an MVP with Toronto. But is that feasible? Aaron Boone thinks it is. Aaron Boone thinks that it's possible. But that could just be the manager being, you know, positive and optimistic about his guys. Personally, I don't like it. I don't see it. I really, really would love to see those innings divided between LeMahieu and Cabrera. You know, use Cordero in the outfield. Once Bader gets back, you'll have a lot more options. But I just don't see why, other than the financial aspect, why Donaldson's getting run out there every single day. The fans are on him already. And I just feel like it's such a bad match. Just like Aaron Hicks, I feel like those two guys are really holding back this team because those two roster spots could be used for valuable assets that could help them, especially off the bench. You know, you could bring in a utility guy who can hit. You could bring in, you know, another outfielder if you so choose. But both guys are really hampering the lineup. And when you look at Donaldson in the lineup, you're like, oh, this guy's like a walking out. It's not like he's the MVP when he was with the Blue Jays a couple of years back. So there's a lot of things going on in Yankee land. And obviously, you're encouraged by the 6-3 start. You have to be. You have to be happy that they're winning series and they're getting the job done. But that has to be sustained over the long haul. And the more injuries that come, the harder that's going to be. I don't know what's up with the Yankees training staff. I really wish I could tell you. Because it seems like every year, we're in the same predicament. We're talking about, oh, this team, they're always hurt. They're always banged up. This one, that one. But when you think about it, it seems like a league problem. You know, there's teams that have injuries, but the Yankees seem to really take the cake every year with that, especially in recent memory. And the schedule, you know, as time goes on, isn't going to get easier. You know, you had San Fran, who, honestly, in my opinion, isn't very good. You have Baltimore, who, again, is not very good. You took 2 out of 3 against Philly, you know, the defending National League champs. That's a positive to me. Again, no Bryce Harper. But now you have Cleveland going to Cleveland for that 3-game set. Then you come home for a very long homestand. You got Minnesota for 4 games. You got the Angels for 3. And then you have Toronto as you re-pick up AL East, you know, competition. And then you go on a long road stand where you go to Minnesota and Texas to round out the month. So it's not going to get easier. And this team has to find a way to continue the production while staying healthy. Reinforcements are hopefully on the way. You know, with the guys that are on the injured list. The list is very long if you go look it up. But until then, the guys who are on the field must continue to produce at a high level. And we'll see if that could happen. But again, as always, it's been fun talking some Yankees baseball. I gotta tell you, being at the stadium last week, it really rejuvenated me. Got me back into the swing of things and really made me understand how much the sport of baseball does mean to me and how much I love watching Yankees baseball. There's nothing like a Sunday afternoon in the Bronx. Especially nice weather. The Yankees win. Stanton hits a ball into the Pepsi Lounge in center field. I swear I've never heard or seen a live fly ball go deeper than that ball hit by Giancarlo Stanton. I've seen a lot of guys hit. Been to a lot of Yankee games in my day. But hopefully it's the first of many for me at the stadium. If you catch me there, make sure you say hi, stop by. You know, we could talk some Yankees baseball. Hey, maybe you want to stop on the pod. Who knows? You know, there's endless possibilities there. If you forgot, make sure you follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. And go to Delahanty Media for all the latest news and updates regarding our show. Until next time, my name is Nick Delahanty. I'm the proud host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. If you have spring break this week like I do, enjoy it. If you're stuck in work, hopefully our pod allows you some free time to stop thinking about work and enjoy talking about Yankees baseball. Until next time, go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.